And you are listening to WFMU East Orange, WXHD Mount Hope, worldwide on the World Wide Web at WFMU.org. Coming up next on WFMU is The Best Show on WFMU with your host, Tom Sharpling. In the meantime, we will hear some music from the new album by Robert Pollard. This is Love is Stronger Than Witchcraft. Best show on WFMU, back again for another Tuesday night installment, taking you all the way through till 11 p.m. The phone number, as always, 201-209-9368, 201-209-WFMU is the number. You can always email the program. Go to friendsoftom.com, click on Contact Tom. Zip, zip, zip. It shows up, your little email. Little. I hate little. I apologize for saying little. Your emails are not little. I apologize. That always drives me nuts when people say little. You're all big. All of you. Each and every one of you is big. Almost each and every one. Most of you. Some of you. A few of you. No, you're all big. Speaking of big, we just heard the big sound of Beat Happening from their album Black Candy. We heard Pajama Party in a Haunted Hive. That came out on the K record label, oh, so long ago. 1992. Before that, the Oxford Circle with Mind Destruction. Know a lot of people play that off of the collection, the CD collection. Everything you always wanted to know about 60s Mind, expansive punkadelic garage rock instrumentals, but were afraid to ask on the ARF ARF label. I don't. I play it on the original vinyl. And it is worth $11,000. I have my priorities straight. Rocky Erickson, before that, from his fantastic retrospective, the anthology that came out last year, I Have Always Been Here Before. We heard Starry Eyes. And starting us off from the brand new album from Robert Pollard, called From a Compound Eye. We heard Love is Stronger Than Witchcraft. And if everything goes according to schedule, I will be seeing Mr. Pollard. What am I, the New York Times? Mr. I will be seeing Robert Pollard live in concert. When, Saturday. We have an action-packed program for you right now, though Saturday is 100 miles away. Not a priority right now. In the next 5 minutes, we are going to be joined by comedy superstar Jim Gaffigan, who is going to call up and tell us all about what it's like to be funny. And so that's coming up. If you have a question for Jim Gaffigan, you know, you go to jimgaffigan.com, first of all, and then see who Jim Gaffigan is. I'm sure you'll recognize him when you see him. You'll go, oh, that's him. If the name isn't adding up. Who's on one mic? Oh. We're going to the phones here on WFMU. FMU, you're on the air.
Tommy Sharpling and Stevie Blue.
How's it going, Stevie Blue?
Good,
how are
what's
you?
What's happening?
Not a whole lot.
Well, you know, remember I always taught you about the juice and how we could boost the ratings? Well, I've come up with a strategic idea.
Oh.
And my idea is that some way, somehow, I'm going to try, actually, I'm going to bring David Lee Roth on your show.
Really?
Well, we got to try to figure a way to make it happen, but I look at it this way. Once I get through and I juice him up and I'm going to tell him who number one is, he's going to have to go to your site because he probably doesn't even know who you are. But since you're a rock star and he's a rock star and I'm a rock star, I figure we might as well let's go get together and have a rock star party.
It'll be like the SALT treaty.
Yo, man, we got to get David Lee Roth there. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to start working on him, and I'll get to him, and I'm going to figure it out. But I can tell you this much, buddy. We got to get him on your show because I know he's going to love you. Because everybody loves Sharpling.
That's, oh, well, that's nice of you to say. I appreciate that, Stevie Blue. Do you think you can make it happen?
Yeah, you know why? Because there's nothing I can't do. I have a lot of shows coming up. I'll tell you about that, but the main thing is it's all about you. So I've decided that if you're out there, David, and you want, and you happen to hear this, we're inviting you to the Tom Sharpling Show, not for tea, but we'd love you to come on, and you can bring all the hundreds of girls that you have in some of your videos.
Oh, you're going to get me in trouble.
No, man, no, it's cool. But seriously, I would like very much to professionally see if I could bring on this great radio host, just like you in the morning, and I know, I don't know if you caught his show, but
I hear
all,
it's great.
It's cool.
I heard his show is great.
It is great, you know. However, I held up this morning for a half hour, and I never got through. So Stevie's pissed off, and now Stevie's going to have to pull another angle.
Uh-oh, here we go. Look out, DLR. Stevie Blue's coming. Hey, we got a fan of Stevie Blue on the line right now. Cole, you're on the line.
Hello, Tom.
Hello, you're a Stevie Blue fan. You called, you had a question for Mr. Blue?
Yes, where is he performing?
I'm playing February 2nd at the Baltic Civic Center in Brooklyn. And if I can luckily find it, if you can hang on. Okay, yeah, it's when, it's February 2nd. It's the Baltic Street. Hang on 1 second. I know you guys were okay. The Baltic Street Treatment and Resource Center at 250 Baltic Street. It's a kind of like charity show, benefit show, and we're doing a set, and it starts at approximately 9 o'clock. Excuse me, 8 o'clock, and okay. It's $10 for students, $20 for adults. So, if anybody wants to come down and see Stevie Blue Unplugged, including David Lee Roth, of course, and Tom Sharpling, February 2nd, we'd love to have you.
Oh, Tom, you're going to be there, too.
Well, it's exciting. This is Spike, is it not, Spike?
Yes, it is.
It's exciting that you will be playing at Treatment Center, Stevie Blue, because actually Spike will be in attendance there. He is actually living in a treatment center right now. So,
is that right? Well, for all the boys out there who are in the treatment center and you want to get better, feel good, I'm going to make you all feel better if you come see Stevie Blue.
You hear that, Spike? Maybe if you're good in the treatment center and you behave yourself, they'll let you come watch the show.
Tom, I always behave myself.
That's fantastic, buddy. I hope you get better, whatever your problem may be.
I don't know if there's a problem. I don't know if there's a cure for the problem Spike's got.
Oh, I don't have a problem, Tom. I never have a problem.
Oh, boy. Wow. So, everything else, I guess, is cool. I miss you. But as I've been thinking about you and David Lee Roth all day, and I said, when there's a will, there's a way. And you know something? I'm making sure there's a guy named Tony Brown at MCA National, and I swore I'd get him on the phone. It took me 2 years, and I got him. But it's not going to take me 2 years to get David Lee Roth. It's going to take me 7 days.
Seven days.
And I'm going to call every day. And if I have to go there in person, I'll start singing and dancing in the lobby, but I'm going to get him.
Oh, Stevie Blue, you are a man of convictions.
Oh, you were nice enough to have me on the show and make me a rock star for an evening, and now I want to try to make us both rock stars. Even though you're a rock star anyway, I need to just go to the next level. Oh, I can tell you, David Lee Roth and Tom Sharpley, the universe has a tendency to unfold.
Yes.
And if I get you two together, it's going to
be I love it.
Oh my gosh.
I've been told my special guest is online. Thanks, guys.
Anyway, Tommy, I will send you an email. You'll be hearing.
Okay, yeah, I love it. Thank you, Stevie
Blue. Don't worry. Before Friday, I'm going to work on this.
All right, buddy.
As long as I have your God sense, thank you.
Yes.
God bless you. Have a very
God
nice
God bless
night.
You. Bye. You too. Bye. And I guess we lost Spike.
No, I'm still here.
We apparently hung up on him, which is too bad. I didn't mean to hang up on Spike, but maybe he can call back if he's listening to this. I don't know if he can hear this. It's too bad. FMU, you're on the air.
Hi, yeah. Is Tom and John there?
This is Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, is this Jim?
Yeah.
This is Jim Gaffigan. You know what I'm going to do?
Yeah.
I'm going to play some of your comedy stylings to give people a taste of what they're in store for.
Oh, that's cool.
Okay, well, let's listen to that, and we'll be right back with Jim Gaffigan.
That's not nice. I love the movie previews. Why is it whenever you're watching a movie preview, you always feel like you have to comment on it to the person you're with? I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to see that movie. I'm going to wait for that on video. When you think about it, it's just a commercial for the movie. Never sit at home watching TV. Yeah, I'm not buying that cereal. I don't like cereals with raisins in them. What's your take on that commercial? Where are you going? Movies are great for dates, too, right? Unless it's a movie about a serial killer. Because then there's never an appropriate time to make a move. You're like, oh, he just strangled that little girl. Hello. It's getting comfy. Oh, look at my arm. That's weird. You ever rent a movie that was released a while ago and you enjoy it, but there's kind of that awkwardness because you can't talk about it with anyone? You're like, hey, I just saw Heat. Heat, I saw that 15 years ago. I want to talk about it now. No, loser. That's sad. You ever not seen someone's favorite movie? They get furious. Wait, you haven't seen Goodfellas? What are you saying? Apparently I'm saying your sister's a whore. I didn't realize there was any confusion there. We do take our movies so personally. You don't like that movie? That's because you're stupid. You're too dumb to get it. You know what kind of movies I love? You're going to think this is so queer. Gay porn?
Oh, that makes me gay. Because I collect gay porn. This guy's weird. You ever talk about a movie with someone that read the book? Oh, he's so condescending. Oh, the book was much better than the movie. Oh, really? What I enjoyed about the movie? No reading. It only took 2 hours. And then I could take a nap. I'm too lazy. You ever read an article and at the bottom it says continued on page 6? Not for me. I'm done. Stop bossing me around, bosser. That's not even a word. Then I finally get to page 6. I can't remember what I was reading. You ever read the ending to a different article? John Kerry is running from a flood. What's he doing in Bangladesh?
Oh, yes, that's Jim Gaffigan from his hot CD, Doing My Time. And now we're excited enough to have him on the phone with us right now. Are you with us? Hello? There we go. Did I lose you?
No, I'm here.
Oh, no, there you are. First, I want to remind you to keep, we got to keep it clean. We're on a family-friendly radio station.
Well, I'm...
You're a family-friendly guy.
I'm a clean guy.
I know you are. I know. Just make it. Just I have to say it.
No, that's cool.
So thank you for coming on the show. First of all.
Well, thanks for having me.
So you have an exciting special coming up over on Comedy Central this Sunday.
Yeah, it's exciting. It's kind of odd because it's one of those things where I'm kind of surprised that. Comedy Central had said that they were going to promote it, like, all of January, and then they're like, no, we're going to do a 3-week, and then it was a 2-week, and then it's like, and I assume that they've started now, but I'm waiting for a phone call, like, where they're going to be like, the day before, we're going to tell 5 people. But no, it is really exciting, and it's a great opportunity, and I'm hoping, people will check it out.
What is that? What is the special called?
It's called Beyond the Pale.
Okay, so and it's this Sunday on Comedy Central at
9:00. I thought I would take a very disturbing piece of history of the Jewish people and turn it into a stand-up hour.
For people who aren't familiar with you, what is the thing you get recognized for the most? If that thing that people point at you on the street and say you're the guy who, blah blah blah.
Well, I would say I was the guy in the meow scene in Super Troopers, but maybe Sex and the City. I went to the bathroom with the door open.
Okay.
A lot of glamorous things. I usually play a dumb guy in things. Or I did this thing on Conan called Pale Force, which was all about, it was this animated piece that a friend of mine who's a cartoonist at The New Yorker did, which was Conan and I would fight crime with our paleness. We would shoot lasers out of our nipples, which... kind of an interesting way to go.
So people recognize you as the, but those are those proud moments when you're walking down the street with your, a loved one, and somebody says, you're the guy who went to the bathroom with the door open.
Yeah, I play a lot of dumb guys, and, like I've even played like a dumb guy pedophile clown on Law & Order. So, which was weird because I know nothing about clowns. So it's flattering, but it is kind of weird when you play a dumb guy. A lot of people assume you're kind of an idiot on the set. They're like, you need help opening that soda. But it's fun.
Huh. Now, how much work do you put into a special like this? It goes on how many. Months or years is this of your life in preparation?
Gosh, the last special I did on Comedy Central was in the year 2000. And so it's, you know, it was kind of a, so I guess 6 years of new material. But, you know, once I found out that I was going to do it, I definitely cranked it up a little bit and tried to kind of, like, form it into something that had concise chunks, if you will, you know, and mm-hmm. tried to finish jokes that I had been too lazy to figure out, you know. But, you know, I don't know. I guess I would say that it's, you know, it's the culmination of all the stuff I've come up with over the past 6 years. I mean, my act has really kind of progressed dramatically since the last time I did a Comedy Central special. I'm far more eccentric, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Now, what is the evolution of that like? Because I guess you have the thing that that kills me that you do, which is the asides that you do during.
The inner monologue or the inside voice. Some of it is, I try and describe it to people. I'm like, you know, there's voices in your head, and they're like, well, not really, but I guess I feel like, you know, I mean, everyone has kind of like this inner commentary that's going on, whether they're meeting a new person or talking in front of a group of people. And I just kind of, empowered it or gave a voice to it. Cause I think it keeps kind of a truly kind of improvisational feel to the show, where if I have a joke that I've done, you know, 50 times, based on the audience's reaction, I can kind of have it be unique to the show.
Mm-hmm.
And it also, I think it kind of adds a layer where if I am talking about, you know, I talk a lot about food because I'm a pig, but I, you know, like if I'm talking about cake for like 5 minutes, the inside voice is kind of, it gives me almost an allowance to do it.
Uh-huh.
Because I can kind of disarm the audience's judgments that might arise.
So you almost call yourself on the thing, even if nobody in the audience is thinking that, it actually, now the audience is kind of caught in a, like a little crossfire almost.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely, you know, I think that most, you know, writers and stuff like that, that they'll see like gimmicks in their own work that it's, I think by addressing it, it's kind of like almost writing notes along the way, kind of like if I do a joke that is, mean or something like that. Because, you know, I don't really want to do material that's like, hey, let's make fun of this guy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And if I do have anything that has kind of that tinge of it, you know, the inner voice will kind of point that out. You know, I mean, kind of like whenever, you know, you watch like a really bad movie, you know, it's, you kind of have that kind of monologue that you, you know, kind of like a Mystery Science 3000 where you're commenting on things.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's not to say that hopefully my show is, you know, very good, but I wanted to keep it working on a couple different levels. So it isn't just jokes about Hot Pockets or stuff like that.
Uh-huh. And we have Jim Gaffigan on the phone right now. He has a Comedy Central special is going to be on this Sunday at 9 called Beyond the Pale. And you can get more information over at jimgaffigan.com if you, which is a very hot website. It's very, very fancy.
It's very fancy.
Yeah.
Very fancy.
Now, when you do something like this and you put the special together and you kind of have to say goodbye to certain jokes, I guess. Do you things that are now documented and they're you know, on TV and they're on a DVD, and like do you find is that a sad process in a way? Because, you know, Jerry Seinfeld did that whole huge thing where he's retiring all these jokes and
I guess some of it is there is kind of like a certain point where you're like, all right, I've finished that joke. I'm not going to obsess on it. And I feel in some ways that way about the topic of food because, you know, on my DVD, I even have more material than I couldn't fit in the hour. And there is something to be said with kind of, being done with it and kind of going, all right, you got to move on. But the irony is that, you know, you'll do a joke, and I felt kind of that way, you know, 6 years about 6 years ago about, you know, this small portion of material that I had about the manatee, and I'll do a show, and you know, people will be like, I drove 2 hours to hear that damn manatee joke, and you didn't do it.
Uh-huh.
So it's kind of a strange balance of, you know, you don't want to be, you know, just the Beach Boys doing, you know, the same songs for 25 years. But, you know, if people do want to hear it, you know, it's flattering enough that they enjoy it. So,
yeah,
it's, I don't know, it's a strange balance. I've yet to figure it out, really.
Finally. There's also that line, though, where also if a joke doesn't make sense anymore for you, like when Jerry Seinfeld was doing those jokes about flying coach, and it's like,
oh, yeah,
it's like, looking up at the people in first class enviously through the curtain, it's like, really? You're like, somebody's mismanaging his money if he's flying coach.
Yeah, it's like he owns an airline probably anyway. So,
hey, actually, if people have any questions for Jim Gaffigan, the phone number is 201-209-9368. 201-209-9368. And we already have a question for you. Let me cue this up here. There's a guy, beep, boop. FMU, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Keith Whitener.
Hey.
Hey, Keith.
And my question for Jim, it's about, in his act, how he says that movies are better than books because they don't require any reading. But I read that you were an English major. So what happened in those 4 years that made you anti-book?
No, well, you know, I mean, some of it is I'm obviously not anti-book, but it's, you know, it's kind of embracing the kind of like slovenly behavior that we all kind of indulge in anyway. And obviously, I enjoy reading. I don't do it as much as I should. I mean, I've got really horrible eyesight, so me looking at a, you know, 900-page book does make me kind of nervous. But, you know, I mean, obviously, it's funny because it's like, you know, sometimes people hear that joke and they're like, great, you're like an anti-intellectual. And I'm like, well, that's not really, it's kind of like, I also talk about, you know, recycling being a pain in the butt, but that's not to say that I don't think that we should, you know, I think we should recycle. You know what I mean? It's just kind of indulging in kind of our, you know, the laziness.
Now, Keith is one of those guys over at the comedy message board.
Yeah, his special thing.
Yeah.
There you go.
Thank you, Keith.
Thanks.
Bye. Another call coming in here. FMU, you're on the air.
How you doing, fellas?
Hey.
Jim, I think you're really funny.
Thanks, man.
I just had a couple questions for you.
Sure.
First of all, how much is Sierra Mist paying you to do their commercials to make it worth it for you? To seem that, you know, awful.
Yeah, what do you do for a living?
No, I'm saying I know he needs to do it because he needs the money.
That's a good question, but you know
what? I'm curious how much it pays.
Well, you know, it's a very nice living. It's a huge amount of money. But, and I jokingly say, you know, sometimes I go, oh, well, I like the soda. But the thing is, it's like, should I do Sierra Mist ads or should I do some of these horrible sitcoms? I mean, on the Sierra Mist ads, and I'm not even defending it because I don't think they're that bad. But the thing is like, you know, Michael Ian Black and I sit down, we shoot the script, and then we essentially get to improvise it. So it's like, in some ways, I'd rather do that than, you know, here we are in January. It's like, I should be out in L.A. begging for a job on a sitcom where, you know, it's like, you know, I don't know if you're an actor, but it's like, some of those you know, when you're auditioning for a show that you're not thrilled about, it can be really demoralizing. You know what I mean?
Sure.
It's like, you're like, so those Sierra Mist ads, you know, you sit there and you go, wow, I get to have some creative freedom That's not to say that, you know, I'm not...
So is it like one day of work a year, and then you do go in there and pop them out?
It's not to say that I'm not pushing, you know, sugar water, but it's like, it's, I mean, I find that, you know, pretty fulfilling compared to a whole mess of the, and it's a cliche, but, you know, some of the writing in commercials, I think, is better than the stuff on television.
Well, and also, who would you rather see in the commercial like that? You want to see, well, you want to see Ike Turner in a commercial pushing things?
The fact that I even know they exist, you know, implicates me. But I was just curious, that's all, because, you know.
Yeah, but you said you had a little bit of an attitude there, like you were putting them on trial.
I did, because, you know, it's
apologize.
Just...
Apologize.
I'm bitter. I'm sorry, Jim.
I'm crying. But also, you know, the irony is like, because when I, you know, because I remember when I was, started doing them in New York and, you know, and a lot of my friends would be like, some of it was, they'd be like, yeah, see, so selling out, doing commercials. Because there's the classic Bill Hicks, kind of like, if you work in advertising, kill yourself thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, but some of it is, there's a lot of great irony that, like, other people's day jobs are working as a temp for the monolith, which is Pepsi. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, or you work on a sitcom on Fox television, which is tied to, you know, not to get into, like, you know, the whole kind of thing, but it's all, you know, it's, there's a lot of incest going on there.
Physician, so, heal thyself. That's what I say.
Yeah.
What's his, I don't know what that means.
But I did do an ad that, for this thing that's coming out where they're selling nuclear waste to third world countries. But, you know, that's not a bad one.
And you don't have to do another sitcom.
And I don't.
So, And you did the Energizer Bunny commercials. That's the first place I had seen you.
Yeah, and those never aired. It's like half the stuff I do, they give me a lot of money, and then they test it, and people think I'm insane, so they don't air it. So
are those on the web anywhere, those commercials?
Yeah, those are on my website. It's like I, you know, and believe me, you know, it sounds really ironic, but it's fun to work where you have, like, a certain amount of freedom.
Mm-hmm.
But, and it's fun to, you know, I mean, there's so many, I just think there's so many worse ways to cash in. But,
yeah,
you know, I'm going to do a corporate tomorrow. It's like, you know, I'm happy to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one day of work, you know, I don't have to change my act, really. It's not like I'm, you know, somebody who's, you know, pontificating against Bush, and suddenly I'm doing, you know, the Republican convention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you don't have to do jokes where you all of a sudden are talking about, you know, the guy in human resources.
Yeah, I mean, I never do that stuff. They're always like, if you could make fun of Harvey, and I'm like, you know what, I'm going to be doing like 3 minutes on email, so get ready for that.
Yeah. Just imagine Harvey getting an email or something.
Yeah.
We have Jim Gaffigan on the phone. He has a Comedy Central special. Beyond the Pale is going to be on this Sunday at 9 p.m., so you can check that out. And you're going to get more information over at jimgaffigan.com for your Jim Gaffigan updates and news. And we've got a couple questions here that people – we do a thing called Getting to Know You here. And we have about 10 minutes to go with you, a little less. We'll ask you some questions, and then you're going up somewhere tonight.
Yeah.
You told me. Where are you going up? Do you want people to rush over?
No, that's all right. Okay. I'd rather. I haven't been up. I just came. Now I sound like but I just came from Sundance, so it's like I haven't been up in like 9 days. So the last thing I would want anyone to do is see me perform.
Now, did you have a film in Sundance?
I did, but you know, it was you know, Sundance for me is like 3 days of people thinking I'm Phil Hoffman, you know, so it's just like, no, I'm not him, but thank you. No, yes, I think I was great in Capote, too. So it's, you know, it's, this business is all about getting too much respect or none, and it's kind of like in Sundance, when people think you're Phil Hoffman, it's like a combination of both.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'll take the free stuff, but it's kind of funny.
Now, Getting to Know You, we ask you some questions, and then you just give us quick answers. It's fine.
Sure.
Chinese food or Thai food?
Thai food.
That's right. 'Cause Chinese food is Thai food for stupid people. I want to make sure you answered that.
Yeah.
Least favorite Beatle?
Ringo, probably.
Okay. What is the meanest heckle you ever received?
God, you know, I black that stuff out, really.
All right. Describe your favorite lunchbox that you had in your life.
It would probably have to be SWAT. I had a SWAT lunchbox.
That's fancy.
And I think it was a hand-me-down because I had a bunch of... I probably had it when it was like 5 years after the show.
Uh-huh. Did you know what SWAT was?
I did. I did. And I think I did a trampoline performance, a dance kind of trampoline performance on to the SWAT theme song. We did that in our grade school or whatever.
The elderly.
Yeah.
General thoughts.
They smell a little bit. Good people. It makes me a lot of bumping into with no apologies. I would give them a thumbs up though overall.
Okay. Least favorite pie.
I'm more of a cake guy, really, but I would say least favorite pie would be, like boysenberry, something really.
So you really got to stretch it there to find a pie that doesn't.
Yeah, it's work hard to mess up pie, but there's some pie that you're like. Yeah, not crazy about it. Yeah. I guess those pies that you get in those big kind of machines at like a garage or something like that, those pies aren't great. The McDonald's pies, I'm not crazy about.
Like the hot apple pie?
Yeah, it's too hot. Yeah, I got a problem with that.
And there's got to be something wrong with it if they're giving you two for 99 cents.
Yeah, I mean, they're trying to get rid of it. And those pies are really just Hot Pocket pies anyway.
Uh-huh.
So it's like whenever it gets into the Hot Pocket thing, you know that like what's inside, they're trying to hide what's really inside.
Mm-hmm. By the way, the Hot Pocket thing is one of my favorites also. And
thanks.
It's hot, they're disgusting. And, you know, it's the kind of thing it's like you keep the Hot Pocket thing going even when it's the kind of thing that in lesser hands it would be a horror show.
Oh, well, thanks. Thank you.
I wish people would recognize...
Oh, shoot. I wish they would recognize me for my... is it supposed to be funny?
No, it's whatever. What honest answer?
Recognize me for my hard work. I don't know.
All right, that's. There's no wrong answer here.
Yeah.
And we have time for one more call, and then we'll say goodbye to Jim Gaffigan. Again, his special Beyond the Pale is going to be on this Sunday night, 9 p.m. on Comedy Central. Bring another guest up here, another caller up here. FMU, you're on the air. Yes?
Whoa. It's Mac.
Yeah?
Whoa, that was a sick article.
What?
The article that was on FMU thing.
Why are you calling about this now? I have a guest on.
What?
Oh, I hate you. Yeah, and that's the note we end on.
That's all right. That's great. Thanks for having me.
Oh, no. Well, thanks a lot for coming on, and I appreciate you taking the time, and everybody should check out your special this Sunday night, because it's a lot of laughs.
Cool. Thanks a lot.
All right. You take care.
Okay.
Okay. Bye. That's Jim Gaffigan checked in. Very nice with his time. We appreciate that. Now I'm mad at Mac. Now I'm mad at that little twerp calling up. What did he want, Mike? That's all right. That's okay. But what's he doing calling during his segment with a guest? Oh, well, all that. He's not. Mike said he's not listening to the show. That's good. Yeah. Yeah. There's nothing worse to me than someone who calls the show but doesn't listen to the show. I mean, what is the thought behind that? Yeah, I just want to get on the radio and do some stuff. Man, don't make me actually listen, though. Speaking of listen, I want you all to listen to this hot record from Ted Leo and the Pharmacist. Oh, bad finger. From the album, what is this word? Oh, it's straight. Straight up. We heard Baby Blue on the Apple label. For that, DC Snipers. The finest band in the land, circa 2006, with their smash song, Straight Razor, from their album Missile Sunset, which I already am saying, album of the year for 2006. No one's going to come close. It's on the Deadbeat record label. Get more information over at MySpace. Go to myspace.com/TheDCSnipers. And starting us off, Ted Leo, he of the rap battle last week, who came down and bravely squared off against MC Steinberg. Where have all the rude boys gone from the album Hearts of Oak? On the Lookout label. Thank you to Ted Leo for coming down and doing his thing last week. I found myself sincerely moved when he began his version of The Ballad of El Gudo, because that's the moment where I knew that the good guys would win in 2006 and that the bad guys will die in 2006. Speaking of MySpace, I mentioned MySpace a minute or so ago. I'm going to go to my MySpace page right now as I slide over the computer. I'm trying to type on this PC. This so primitive. I'm kidding. I'm imitating the... I did get a new Mac, a new Macintosh Mac computer, and I'm enjoying it a lot. But you ever talk to the people with the Mac when they're like... They'll do everything they can to put down the PC. Oh, PC. Oh, PCs are horrible. PCs are this. You know what? Don't worry about it. You know, if you like the Mac, and be happy with the Mac. You don't have to, you don't have to throw the PC under the bus every chance you get. You just do your own thing. Don't worry. So anyway, I'm over at the at my MySpace page, which is myspace.com/sharpling, S-C-H-A-R-P-L-I-N-G, myspace.com/sharpling. And I am at 699 friends right now. 699 friends. Now, the question that is on my mind right now, who's going to be the 700th friend? Who is going to be lucky number 700? Who should I add? I have a couple people. Let's see. A new friend request. Let me see if any of these people look like possible candidates. I'm telling you right now, these people I have right now, not cut out to be number 700. Few bands, not going to be number 700. If you are not a MySpace friend of mine, I want you to enter yourself into the running right now. See if you can become lucky number 700. I like all the ads that run on MySpace too. It's like the ads for the Ringer. Like, enter the Ringer contest, the movie, the Special Olympics Johnny Knoxville movie. It's like, not even in theaters anymore. It's like, time to take down the banner ad, guys. Enough of that hilarity. Enough of me bringing down the house with my MySpace discussions. Enough of that. You guys need a break from laughing so hard at me talking about MySpace. Although I do want to see who will be lucky number 7. Ow! Oh, that hurt. Oh, just got three new people. Let's see. Stan, a guy named Stan. Let's see. Respectable. He's got a purple shirt in his top. He's got 5 friends. Not enough info on his thing to be, not enough info, Stan. I'll add you. Not adding you as number 700. We got, Andrea checking in. Let's see, possible candidate. Andrea, she is from Brooklyn. Very exotic in Brooklyn, from what I hear. Andrea's a candidate to be number 700. But I need to see more. We got another person, Karen, checking in. Let's see. Karen is in Florida listening to the show. Oh, Karen, you have NRBQ in your interests. There's no way you can be number 700. I'm sorry. You can't have NRBQ in your interests, unless it was the hating of NRBQ. Then I would make you number 700 right now. Let's keep this going during the show. All you people who are not yet MySpace buddies with Tom. Over at myspace.com/sharpling. We'll see what other candidates we got. We'll check in with that in a little bit. But Now the exciting news, as you all know, we've got the Friends of Tom theme song contest going on. Is that... wait, that's the Stan? That's Stan Stan? On MySpace? Checking in on the chat, by the way. The Friends of Tom chat over at friendsoftom.com. Hortense. Talking a little too much, Hortense. Ease up on the gas pedal, son. Let others talk. We have some entries in the theme song contest. You get more information, go to friendsoftom.com. The best show on WFMU needs a new theme song. And we want you to provide that theme song. Your song, if it is the winning theme song, will be heard each and every week, kicking off the best show on WFMU. Which is exciting news, is available for podcast now. The best show on WFMU podcast. How about that? Go to friendsoftom.com, track it down. Podcast. How about that? Go to friendsoftom.com, go to the archives, and you'll find information about the podcast. But now we are going to check in with some of the entries into the theme song contest. Let's see. This song. Yeah. This song that we are going to hear, the first entry in tonight's candidates, is by Lewis, and it is called Best Show, Best Friends. Let's take a listen right now.
Damn Chaplin Falls Sail. Keeping the best show alive to be a freedom train. Tom Chaplin and you. Oh man, it's coming.
Again. What? That guy tricked me. I'll give that guy credit, actually. That guy got me. That was a good one. He played that song that he stole. You got me, Lewis. You got me. You get points on that one, buddy. You get points. I'm not going to take that away from you. Points. We got Chris checking in. You know the amazing Chris L. His entry into the contest. It's called The People's Theme. And hopefully he doesn't go into that song again. Wah. What? Oh, I hate it. I hate you computers. Okay. Wah-wah. And we're frozen. There we go. All the windows shutting down now. Don't know what happened there, Chris. Your theme song's too good. Let's check it out. Let's get back over to the intranet where we can listen to your theme song. This is like the Graham Norton show, my show. When you listen here, you hear the typing go on. I'm going to the websites to show foul pictures like he does. Let's go. Chris L., we're heading to the website now. The People's Theme. Let's see if it opens this time without sending the computer system screaming into oblivion. MySpace.com/Sharpling, SCHARPLING. Who's going to be my 700th friend? Just all kinds of people. Here's Chris's theme.
Best radio show ever.
Hey, who's this?
Mark. Well, I am Buddy Swales, governor of Alabama.
Hi, it's Gerald Perlmutter.
Tom Sharpling, governor of party.
Hey, Tom, it's Purple Sir.
Hey, Tom, it's Mark Michaels.
This is Richard Collier from Chicago.
What's your name?
Barrington.
Barrington. And well, what's inside the tube?
Fire. Why? Maurice Kern?
Horrifying.
Hey, Tom, it's Bruce.
Tommy!
Who's this?
Gingivitis.
Gingivitis.
Yeah.
They have ring bologna at the Wawa I go to.
What?
I hate you.
It's Peter.
Hey, it's Steinberg.
Mm-hmm.
You are creepy and I'm hanging up on you. Boing.
Roger Devil.
My name is Ali Farinaki.
I'll say it. You'll hear it. You'll do it. I'll get it. You'll learn it. I'll live with it and you'll die without it.
Smash your trash.
Eric, I'm calling from Duke.
Good day.
What's up, Tom? This is Tristan.
Hey, it's Michelle.
Yeah, Tom, this is Jim Riffle. How you doing?
When I get to do the toilet talk now.
The vaudeville of the new century.
My name is Tom Riley. I'm calling from New Zealand.
Hey, man. Right.
Ted, don't stand with that tentpole. This is a tentpole show.
Hey, this is Ted Leo.
What?
This is Petey from the future.
Hi, Tom. It's DJ Terry T.
Hey, Tommy. How you doing?
Hey, it's Captain Jack.
My name is Mike Sajak.
Get off my phone. I don't care.
Hey, this is Zippy Pants, man.
I'm going to go to bed now, Fopper.
Hey, Tom. It's Gord.
Hey, Gord. How are you?
I was in a band in the early 90s. My name's Jerry Page.
Tom, my name is Jeffrey Ludell. It's a fat, diseased, wild orangutan, isn't it?
The disenfranchised have a home now. I'm the hero of the disenfranchised.
That was good. That was good. What did you think of that one, Mike?
Yeah, I liked it.
That was good. It's not his. It's a different Chris. Oh, there's two Chris. That's right. There's two Chris L's. I apologize to Chris. The Chris L. who did that. And I condemn the other Chris for stealing credit for it. That's a filth move to steal credit for something that you didn't do. It's a filth move. That theme song. That was epic. I calls him like I sees him. I gotta tell you. We got another one coming up here. It is the ERT theme, which is by DJ ERT. We're going to hear that song in a moment. The theme song contest. You want more information, you go to friendsoftom.com and click on theme song contest. Your theme song. You know what? Let's pause. Pause it for a moment. I don't want to step on the song here. Your theme song will be heard each and every week at the start of the show. And I'll put together a nice, fun prize pack for you also if you came up with the winning entry. Here is the ERT theme by DJ ERT. Let's check this out.
Alright, here we go. Tell me, we all set? We good? Getting a little, getting a touch back in my mic. Getting a, hello, hello, test. Yeah, getting a definite echo, Tony. Bring it down, too. Let's bring it down on one and two. I'm gonna adjust it here, Tony. Let's bring it up to nine. What do you got? We both on nine? Alright, let's do this. Stand by, America, Canada, England, and the rest. This is voiceover legend Kendrick Martin, reminding you to sit back, relax, and enjoy. Like the pizza box says, you've tried the rest. Now try the rest. We good, Tony? No, Tony, we're not doing it again. I think we got it. Let's shut this down.
W-A-M-U.
This is the best show on WFMU, brought to you each and every Tuesday night here on WFMU. 3 hours of Mark music and mayhem, and we're going to start things off FMU, you're on the air.
Hello, Tom.
There we go, DJ ERT, kind of a techno exciting version, kind of thrilling, kind of like it's like the Matrix almost. It's kind of like a journey into the Matrix. I felt like Neo listening to that song. Another great entry, DJ ERT. Thank you so much. Now, last week I played a song by a band called Chalky. Tune for Tommy, and the song was interrupted by the music from that my brother and me or whatever that is. So I promised the guys from Chalky that we would hear their song uninterrupted by that horrible music that Lewis keeps sending, that the prankster, the mischief maker, trouble. The capital T R Ubble. I could get a part in yeah, that's right. There was a spike clip in that.
Hello, Tom.
FMU, you're on the air. Okay.
FMU.
We are going to hear the song by Chalky now, called Tune for Tommy, uninterrupted.
FMU, you're on the air.
Wow.
No, this is Tom. Tom Sharpling. Feeling it. Tom. Feeling it. FMU, you're on the air. Oh. 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 Oh.
I don't know what I'm doing. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Tom.
Creepy. Okay. You're awful. That's just... insane. Tom.
201-209-9368.
Yes. Oh, you're such a creep. Oh. 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 Oh.
FMU, you're on the air.
FMU, you're on the air.
Oh my God! Oh my God! Oh my God! Oh my God! Oh my God!
What the?
Oh my God! Oh.
Are you? Hey! Danny?
I fell down the stairs. Oh my God!
Chalky,
that's just insane.
Rock solid. Nice entry, Chalky. Tune for Tommy. The theme song contest is heating up now. Now it's on fire. Took so long, but you guys came through now. Now it's on fire. Now there's fights going on. You got the you got Chalky fighting with Chris L, fighting with the band that did the Hank Four guys with their thing. They were actually called what were they called? What did they call themselves? The Theme Weavers. And they even have an LLC after. That's a limited liability company, these guys. These guys aren't messing around. Got another entry. Two more entries to go. We got one here by a young man, Mouth Breather. DJ Mouth Breather. We're going to check that out right now. Another entry in the Best Show Theme Contest. Let's hear it right this second.
There it goes. Scratchy Records bringing it. This is the Best Show on WFMU, brought to you each and every Tuesday night. Here on WFMU, 3 hours of Irish music and mayhem.
I know Tom is beautiful. Hey, Tom.
Hey, who's this?
It's Steinberg.
Hey, Tom, it's T-Shirt. How are you, my brother, Stevie Blue?
Stevie Blue.
Rock the Tom.
Hey, how you doing?
It's a tech pop, yeah. Hey, Tom, it's Thomas.
It's Roy.
Who's this?
Roy.
Billy Boy Roy?
Get off my phone. How dare you?
2005. Bad guys won. That's why in 2006 the good guys win. This is it. We're drawing a line right now.
You hear that? You know what that's the sound of? That's the sound of a dog fight! This guy took, got it by voices, I'll replace you with machines. This guy went into earthquake glue. He's pulling tracks off earthquake glue. He's not messing around. He's not pulling stuff off propeller. He's not pulling stuff off half smiles. This guy's going earthquake glue, pulling tracks off, putting samples on it. It's on. It's on now. Theme song contest. It's not a theme song contest anymore. It's a theme song war. And here's another soldier in the war. This guy's name is... What is his name? Petey. Petey. This should be interesting. Let's take a listen.
Radio show, and I guess that you can so sing a song about you. Time's up, and I wish you could see my face now. Face down in the mountain, I don't know where I'm going. I was outside the large building, and there's some people around here. They won't give you any money, but they'll give you a beer. Oh. Well, some people, man, words just have to do my pastime. He doesn't know anyone in Petey City. But Petey City is in y'all. Did it easy in my time, Jimmy Hendrix.
Blues Brothers. I guess we'll beat that up to everyone running tonight, smile. But even if Tommy gets killed tomorrow, you know what you must do.
There we go. Petey checking in with his exciting theme entry called Bus Ride Ballad Road to Sharpling. Heavy duty stuff from Petey. FMU, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Tom.
Hi.
This is Andrea from Brooklyn.
Andrea from Brooklyn. Okay.
I'm on your MySpace.
Oh, that's right. You put in a request to be number 700.
Yes, this is a verbal request to accompany my e-request.
Okay.
I have a trade to offer you.
Okay.
So, I'll be your 700th friend.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
But if you accept me,
uh-huh,
you will be my 33rd friend.
You mean like in albums?
Like, sure.
Or like in the Patrick Ewing wore number 33 when he played for the New York Knicks.
The possibilities are endless.
Yes,
and
they're
in your hands. So I'm just sort of telling you.
Well, you know what you should not do?
What?
Don't add anyone, because I might make you number 700.
I won't. It'll be our deal.
If you pass the test, no guarantees.
What's the test?
If there's no test. You got to run the gauntlet, though. We'll see. There's people who want to get in on this. We'll see.
Oh yeah, but what are they doing? They're just sitting around. They didn't even call you.
That's a very good point.
Yeah, and I want this thing.
That point will be factored in to the final decision.
All right. Well, thank you.
Well, thank you, Andrea. Bye.
Bye-bye.
FMU, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom, what's up?
Not a whole lot. Who's this?
It's Akiva.
Hey, Akiva, how are you doing?
I'm good. Are you watching American Idol right now?
No, I'm actually hosting a radio show right now, Akiva.
Oh, my God. I just wanted to check in. I heard the show last week. I didn't get to hear it live, but I liked it.
Oh, jeepers. I'm glad you liked it. You've called before, haven't you?
Yeah.
Why am I remembering something sticking out? That's right. You were the... you're like the hip, you're like a hip comedian.
Yeah, if that's what you want to call it.
Sure. And how's that going for you?
It's going good. I'm actually working on a one-man show.
I remember you. Your uncle, was it your uncle?
Yeah.
Your uncle is Yakov Smirnoff.
Yeah.
Oh, so how's that going for you?
Same as it's been going for the past 23 years.
Akiva Smirnoff.
Yeah.
The comedian. Mm-hmm. So it's like it kind of runs in the family with you guys.
I guess you could say that, yeah.
Akiva Smirnoff, and have you ever shared a bill with your uncle?
Actually, when I was like 10, what he did was he just like brought me up and I did like a bunch of jokes he had written,
mm-hmm.
but you know, from like a little kid's point of view.
Sure.
So I guess he was like kind of training me at a very young age to do this.
To do jokes and stuff.
Yeah.
And were you up on stage going like, in Russia, you wait online. In America, you... Like that?
More little kid stuff, but his jokes, you know. I'd like to think that none of my comedy is like his.
Okay, so you weren't doing like...
No disrespect to him. It's,
yeah. Well, he's your uncle, but it's a different generation also.
Yeah.
So you and your uncle, is that like, little Akiva, let me tell you, jokes like, this is how you write a joke. In Russia, was that it, like that?
Yeah.
Or were you like, in nursery school, you do the thing, you know, like that? Is that how the stuff went?
Yeah, pretty much. But I'd like to think I moved from that. I don't even, like, use his name on stage. Like, well, I go up as with my name.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like how I get into the bills and stuff. But other than that, I don't like mention it on stage.
So you drop his name to get on a bill.
Yeah. And I'm trying to go to one man show. And I think that'll be the first time I'll ever really delve into that subject.
Uh-huh.
It's coming.
So your one man show will be about being the nephew of Yakov Smirnoff?
Actually, it'll be about being the son of Yakov Smirnoff.
The son?
Yeah.
Did you say son? I thought you said it was your uncle.
He is my uncle, but, you know, it doesn't have to be totally realistic, right?
So yeah, it kind of does, though, if it's a one-man show, Akiva.
Well, it's just for kind of like namesake. I'm going to call it Red Son. And, you know, the sun is red.
Red sun. So you, rather than red nephew, I guess that doesn't sound as good.
Yeah, exactly.
And but, it's not as sexy a story if you're if you're the nephew of Yakov Smirnoff.
Yeah, plus, you know, my friend, he's a designer, and he designed me a bunch of flyers with, like, a painting of me. And it's got, like, the hat Yakov would wear during his stage shows, and me just walking towards the sun, and it's nice.
Wow. So, but now, does your uncle know about this?
No.
No?
No.
He doesn't know you're even doing a show where you're going to claim to be his child.
Well, he's doing this thing in Branson.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he has his own theater, I think, right?
And he's doing, like, shows, like, 7 days a week. So it'd be hard for him to, you know, come and see me.
No, I understand that, but he might hear about it, though.
I guess.
I can't believe my nephew Akiva is telling people that he's my son.
Come on.
For the sake of doing a show at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater.
I'm trying to. I'd like to work there. I've done it there a few times, but I'd like to get that there. But who knows?
Well, you got to be in it to win it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like I go around using that as my main thing. Like so far in my stand-up, I never do, you know, jokes about him being my dad or uncle or whatever. It's more about like you know, celebrity news and stuff.
Like what? Like, give me an example.
You know, like, you turn on Best Week Ever, I'm kind of doing that.
So you'll, like, comment on the news, like, in a kind of like a snarky way?
Yeah, I guess you'd call it that, yeah.
Kind of like you'll end up talking about,
Michael Jackson.
Yeah, like, you go, so you're going a little edgy there, huh? Michael Jackson, yeah. You're actually going to actually going to roll the dice, tell some Michael Jackson jokes.
Hey, it's news, right?
Yeah, I think it is. I think it was might be the operative word there rather than is. In terms of that being, is that really current news?
If you read the Post, it is.
What has he done lately to get back in the news, then?
Sometimes I fabricate stories also. Yeah. Just,
yeah. Oh, I... Geez, I got to see that show.
Hey, come see it.
A guy fabricating news. So when you're on stage, I don't make
it like completely obvious that it's fabricated. I'll just like, you know, make up some stuff. People seem to like it.
Dummy, do you have a little bit you want to do?
No, you'd have to come see the show for that. I'd feel weird doing it over the phone.
Oh, wow. Oh, so you, it's a good opportunity to get some promotion, buddy.
Yeah. It's weird because, you know, when you do a celebrity news show, you get like a lot of ladies coming to the studio. Or, uh-huh. I mean, the comedy store and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, it's nice.
Yeah, so you have girls interested in you.
Yeah, when I mention stuff.
When you, what's that?
You know, when I, like, mention I'm a comedian and, you know, uh-huh. Yakko's my uncle and everything.
Uh-huh. So you don't say he's your dad then?
Yeah.
You do?
It varies. It depends on how.
Ugh. You're gross. No offense. I gotta tell you, this is a little. So you're like, I'm riding you about you know, in Russia, and you're like, hey, lay off, don't get you know, come on, you can, come on.
Well, don't drag his name through the dirt. You
know? Yeah, but what do you think you're doing when you mention it at a club when you're trying to pick up a girl?
I don't do it so often because I got a girlfriend who I met through, you know, her coming to the show and stuff.
How long was it before this girlfriend of yours knew that he was your uncle?
Well, I kind of told her, like, immediately when I...
Yeah, of course you did.
And she actually... She knew him.
Uh-huh.
Back in the 80s.
Yeah.
When they were doing, like, this show. And
she actually knew your uncle, actually knows him?
Like
has worked with him, knows him?
Little closer. But, you know, it was more like a conversation started than like, hey, my uncle's Yakov Smirnoff. It's more like, oh, you know my uncle, right? You guys used to date. Well.
Ew. So you are dating a woman. How old is this woman?
Like 40s.
40s, and you're how old? 23.
Yeah.
So you're dating a woman like twice your age.
It's not like they're still dating.
Yeah. Well, look, there's nothing wrong with that. If that works for you, and then you're happy, then you know, knock yourself out. But. I find, but well, you're welcome. But the fact that you, the woman dated your uncle is gross.
It's not like they just, you know, did some stuff.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about you and what your uncle. There's a line there that you have crossed, Akiva.
Is it because she's old?
No, it's because you're...
He's got nice legs, trust me.
Well, I'm not going to challenge whether or not she has nice legs. I'm just saying the fact that you are... Think about it. You're dating a woman who used to date your uncle. That's gross.
Not date, you know, just... It was
yeah.
The 80s and comedy was big and, uh-huh. You know, he was... Fooling around with everybody. And,
ugh. Bad news. Keep this to yourself, Akiva.
I guess I should.
In Russia, you only date your uncles.
Is that like Iraq now? It's like,
in Russia, when you date your uncle's girlfriend.
No, actually,
in America, you do that.
No.
I mean,
boy. He still talks about her sometimes.
You are yucky.
She's hot. What can I say?
I don't want to know.
You've never sacrificed a little bit of your dignity to get with a girl?
Nope.
Really?
No.
Really?
My dignity?
I highly doubt that.
Well, I don't. I can look myself in the mirror and say, I've never sacrificed my dignity. And trust me, you're not sacrificing your dignity. You're disowning your dignity. You're trading in your dignity for the opposite of dignity.
Whatever, it makes me feel powerful.
Well, knock yourself out. I am now creeped out, and I wish there was a shower in this building because I would take one right now. So, good luck with your show, but it's gross. Bye-bye. Oh. Anything else?
She calls me Yakov.
Ugh. That's what we call, not what we call it, I'm not going to say that's what we call in the blah, blah, blah industry. That's what we call, as human beings, a low point.
In Russia.
We have now ended hour two. Hour three is about to begin here on WFMU East Orange, WXHD, Mount Hope Worldwide, Worldwide Web at WFMU.org. This is the best show on WFMU. We are taking you through all the way till 11 o'clock, keeping the party going. If this is a party, though, if seriously, there's trouble. Theme song contest on fire. Exploding with excitement. (201) 209-9368 here, Best Show Open Phone Tuesday. Time for some Open Phone Tuesday. You call about whatever you want to call about. Talk to Mike, who's out there courageously screening the calls. Now, Mike, what is it like when Spike calls? Can you come in and just tell? I know there's a call coming in, but I'd rather hear about this for a second. When a call comes in, this is Mike, the call screener.
Hi, Mike.
How you doing? No, the phone rings. It's 9:20. It's 8:25.
Uh-huh.
The phone line rings. You know who it is.
Well, he's been the first caller since Stevie Blue has sort of dropped off a little bit. Although Stevie Blue did come back this week,
yeah, so dramatically.
Yeah, he just beat Spike by a nose.
Okay.
As the first caller of the evening.
So all of a sudden, the call comes in, you pick up, and what do you say?
Generally just say, hi, Spike.
So you don't even say WFMU.
Well, no, I do say the best show.
Uh-huh, and then he goes, hello.
Yeah, that's usually the tip-off.
Does he talk to you at all?
No, we keep it professional.
Professional. Yeah, because that guy's such a professional. It's good to see he's a pro. He's not an amateur in any of this stuff.
That's true.
So he's like, hello. Does he say hello, Mike?
No, it's generally hello.
Hello, I'd like to speak to Tom.
Pretty much, yeah. And, you know, generally I'll say, how are you? And he'll say, I'm doing fine, you know. And that's about the extent of it.
Now, do you have any handle on anything about who this guy is from those call screenings?
I have no idea what he's all about.
It's troubling. I picture Malcolm Jamal Warner now.
Well, that's what he claims.
He claims he looks like Malcolm Jamal Warner, but he wears 44 waist on his pants. And that might be the whole Cosby family in those pants.
Does he post on the message board?
No.
Does he,
no? No. Spike is pretty anonymous.
Never sent you an email?
Did he ever send me an email? He might have sent me one email one time where it was like something so... It was something... I know this is a shocker for you. It was something stupid. I know that's going to throw you a little out of character. But yeah, it was...
Sexy Sadie?
It was something like... It was something so... Just unimportant, really. It was like... Bleh, 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 and that was it. Like, come on, Spike. We expect more from you. And I don't even know if I remember replying, and it bounced back or something, like one of those things. Oh, sweet Spike. Is Spike your least favorite?
No, my least favorite, although he hasn't called in a while, is the Mr. T doll.
Yeah,
that would be my least favorite.
He's gone.
You think so?
Yeah. The worst thing would be is if we finally had enough of the Mr. T guy and then had the police trace the call and they're like, he's in the building. The call's coming from inside the building. And then you just like... I would jump out that window. Just fall to the pavement and take my chances.
Is Spike your least favorite?
No, Spike's not my least favorite. Which says a lot about my least favorite, I guess.
He's come a long way from Sexy Sadie.
He used to call up and just go, "Where's Debbie?" Right? Was it Debbie?
Debbie the Dominatrix.
Yeah. Where's Debbie the Dominatrix? Where's Sexy Sadie? And then now it's like you talk to him. You think it's like. Like some overnight border radio station or something, just like an unchecked conversation with a guy, and it's like just going on and on. He's doing these monologues.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we've learned a lot. You know, he doesn't like malls. He doesn't like people from New Jersey. Yeah.
Yes.
You know, we're getting a little more...
A look behind the curtain,
yeah.
So to speak. Now, you've heard him on other shows...
I heard him once on WBAI.
Can you actually pull your mic up a little bit more? There we go.
Yeah, I heard him on an afternoon show on BAI.
Uh-huh.
And it was back in probably the Sexy Sadie days. He did that. And
so that was like a call where somebody's like, what was the name of the show?
Well, it's, you know, current events. It's,
okay.
You know, they talk about politics, local politics.
Uh-huh.
And then all of a sudden... He was confronted with Spike, who...
What did he say?
He was confused.
Just...
It was pretty much a Sexy Sadie call. And the host was just... You know, I think he asked him to repeat it. He repeated it. And he figured that was enough and kind of... That was the end of the call.
We want to know what you think of this whole... everybody's talking about, the Supreme Court nomination. Just see what you got. We got a call. You don't remember the name that they said it was? Like, were they saying names? Like, you know, we got Bill in Syosset.
No, actually, yeah, I that would have been good if he used a different name.
Yeah,
I know he didn't use Spike.
Yeah,
I think that would have stood out a little more.
Yeah,
but
Sandy.
No, I heard the voice and I was he's over here too. You know,
where's Sexy Sandy?
I wasn't surprised he was on BAI, though. They get their range of callers.
And Spike is definitely one end of a range of something.
Definitely.
He's almost the opposite of me, in a way. I strive for the best in humanity, so I get disappointed.
Uh-huh.
Spike embraces the worst, wallowing in the filth.
Well, he's promised to call back tonight, so...
Don't you think Spike would have been happiest in like the Taxi Driver era New York? Like that era, early 70s.
Yeah, I could see that being, have we determined how old he is?
I don't know.
He may have been walking the streets during
the did we say late? Is he in his 40s, I think, right?
Okay.
Didn't we figure he's in his 40s? Ooh. I got a picture of this guy. I got to get a picture of this guy.
Well.
Only my customers get pictures. You know what? I'll actually hire him. I should actually hire him just to see what he looks like.
It's,
Will you go in my stead, though?
The fill-in?
Yes.
To one of his... Yes, I'll put myself on the
line. To one of his domination sessions.
Well, I don't know about that. I'll meet him in a coffee shop. I'm not going to meet him in a dungeon.
If all of a sudden... You were in a situation like that, and then he's like, "Get down on your knees, slave." Wouldn't you just be like, "You get down on your knees. Shut up."
The Chuck Berry playing in the background.
That's right. I forgot he's into the Shangri-Las and the Beatles. So you're there. He's got Revolver playing in the background while he's wearing his size 44 pants. Trying to dominate. So I'm trying to picture Malcolm Jamal Warner in his 40s in filling out a pair of 44 pants with the Beatles playing in the background. You picture him playing like one of those. I picture him playing one of those Red Album, Blue Album Beatles greatest hits, mm-hmm. You know, like on vinyl. Just like, let's listen to side three of the Blue greatest hits now. His Old Brown Shoe. Now do what I say.
For some reason, I think he's bald. Have we determined whether he's bald?
I don't think that's much of a stretch.
Oh, okay.
I could picture that.
That's my image I have.
Would you meet him alone? Wouldn't you be scared to meet him alone?
No, actually, I wouldn't be afraid of meeting him alone. He sounds...
Wouldn't you think like he'd somehow chloroform you or something? And then you'd wake up and it would be like the end of Hannibal?
Yeah, actually, now that you say it, yeah, there is a bit of that to it.
You'd wake up with the top of your head sawed off?
Uh-huh.
Let me see, this might be him. FMU, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom, how's it going? This is listener Chris.
Oh, it's listener Chris. Is this the Chris? Oh, thank you, Mike.
Okay.
It's formerly moving to Chris, but...
Are you the Chris of the... You're not the Chris who sent the theme in this week, are you?
No, I didn't send any theme in, no.
Okay.
But I'm calling about... Remember the guy, David Patruk, that was labeled Factory Rap Douche of the Week a couple weeks
yes.
ago?
Yes.
It was funny. I was at a cocktail party the other day. And was just talking about him, so, you know, just generally, just because you had brought him up, and I ended up talking to a writer at this party who was writing, who had written a book on corporate scandals, and it turned out to be a woman that broke the story on Enron.
Uh huh. Wow.
And that was amazing. She was just like, "Oh, you have to understand. These guys have no conscience. They don't even understand what it takes when money changes hands. It's not about money. It's about everything else." And it was actually very funny because it turned out to be just like a real flip subject real quickly, based on the factory rap douche discussion.
Uh-huh.
Turned out to be like, "Wow, I met somebody that just wrote the Enron book." So it was pretty funny.
Oh, that's cool. Did you mention him to her?
I did. In fact, I forwarded the article,
and
she found it quite interesting. And she did a little, like, just said, you know, she's busy, obviously. So she's, but she did manage to send me an email back saying that, wow, the guy is a loser. but it was quite funny that the same day that I heard your show, just like met this person that. You know, I think there's a book, The Smartest Guys in the Room. Have you seen that movie, though?
I haven't seen the movie, no.
Oh, you got to check it out. It's pretty believable based on it.
I got to see it. I want to see it.
that whole corporate stuff. But anyway, Factory Rap Douche of the Week topic was relevant for me. It was pretty funny.
Who would be your nomination for this week?
Oh, for this week, Terrell Owens.
Terrell Owens, what would bring that on?
I think he's doing a little like dirty hand back dealing right now, and I think he and Mr. Parcells are going to. I think Terrell Owens is going to end up in Dallas.
Really?
Yes. That's from the, all the Eagles blogs that I go to. That's what I see.
Are you an Eagles fan?
Unfortunately, yes.
So that's why you hate him so much.
Oh, I hate to use the word hate because the good guys are going to win, but
yes.
But what are you going to do?
What are you going to do? Well, thank you, Chris.
All right. See you, Tom.
You have a good night. Bye. 201-209-9368 is the number. My papa was in a band, and that band was called The Human Instinct. Oh, yeah. Oh, heavy-duty stuff there from The Human Instinct from the Stone Guitar album. Just so you know, I'm playing the original vinyl on that. Value? $49,000. Over at MySpace, the battle rages on. Who will be the 700th? Who will be the 700th edition to the Best Show on WFMU's friend list? We need friend number 700. We are at 699. Who will be number 700? Boink. Let's go look at some of the candidates right now. We got Danielson, the band Danielson, checking in. We've got Attitude wanting to know if we can they can be the 700th friend. We've got Katie, who has a picture of one of the Muppets there with the Muppet from the band with her guitar. She likes CNC Music Factory. And Led Zeppelin. And the Ollie G Show. A very qualified candidate. We got Chris, who does No-Fi Magazine. Check them out. He says he wants to be in number 700. The other thing, I should be number one on your friend list. In your top eight, I should be number one for like a month. Like in the, like if I add Chris, this guy who does No-Fi Magazine, I should be number one in No-Fi's top eight for a month. Got a guy named Tom. He might get the name vote. No, I get it because it's the name. FMU, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, who's this?
Jimmy.
Hey, Jimmy. What can I do?
How's it going?
Oh, it's going.
My birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
You know what you should have asked for your birthday?
Do I know what?
Do you know what you should have asked for? What did you ask for?
What did I ask for?
Yeah, what did you ask for? Because I know what you should have asked for.
What's your idea?
Well, you tell me what you did ask for.
Well, I want you to try to answer a riddle. That's why I called.
Oh, okay, let's hear the riddle.
All right, you ready? Let's see if you can get it this time. Three mice are in a mouse hole. All three of them decide to leave.
Oh, not that. I hate this riddle. You did this once before.
You can't get it. That's why I called.
Call back later. We'll talk about it. I want to talk about this riddle for the final 15 minutes of the show. We will analyze this riddle, okay?
Do it.
Call back at 10:45, Jimmy.
You got it, babe.
Bye-bye. Bye. Babe. Jeez. FMU, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom.
What?
I said, hey, Tom, how's it going?
Oh, it's going all right.
You know who this is?
Who is that? It sounds familiar. Is it Mark?
It's Mark.
Marky Ramon.
Yeah, how's it going?
It's going okay. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I locked myself out of my apartment.
You lock?
Waiting for the locksmith to come.
You locked yourself out of your apartment?
Yeah.
How did that happen?
I just left the keys inside.
You left the keys in your apartment, so you left and you locked yourself out.
Yeah, it's kind of a bummer. I want to talk to you, kill some time. I want to know if you've seen the film called Brokeback Mountain.
No, I haven't yet. Have you?
No, I wanted to know if it was worth seeing.
Well, it's getting a lot of great reviews.
With a name like that, I figured it. What's it about? It's like these two guys who break into a bank in a mountain. What is it?
Well, no, it's kind of not about that. It's like a cowboy movie that it's like with.
What, like The Searchers?
Yeah, kind of like The Searchers, but it has some. It's like the two guys are gay.
Like a lot of fighting.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how much fighting's in it, honestly.
Is there a lot of, like, wrangling?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. I know it's,
getting a lot of word of mouth.
Yeah, it is. Maybe you just want to go check it out and then call back with a review of it.
I don't know. What have you heard about it?
What have I heard about it?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I know it's a cowboy movie where the two guys
that
are...
That sounds great to me.
Well, you keep...
So far.
Okay. Well, let me finish then.
Okay.
It's got I think the two guys in it are gay. They realize that they're gay out, like, kind of out on the plains or whatever. I didn't see it. I don't know. Hello?
Wait, did you say what I think you just said?
Yeah, that they're gay?
Wait, it's a cowboy movie, though, you said.
Yeah.
And they're kind of hot for each other?
I think that's the general plot of the movie.
That's sort of disturbing.
Well, it's kind of real life also.
Not my life.
Well, that's...
Although I do remember this one time we were on tour for End of the Century.
Yeah.
And there were these two guys in the backstage, and they were sort of going at it. Dee Dee and I were like, oh, man, check that out. And Johnny came in, and he was mad.
And Johnny got mad.
He was real mad. And then there was this other time when I was back in the band Mondo Bizarro.
Uh-huh.
We were backstage, and CJ and I was talking, and there were these other two guys back there, and Johnny came in, and he was really mad.
He was mad. Wow. Was that a common thing with Johnny?
Yeah, sort of not into it too much, you know.
Well, just being mad at everything.
Well, sort of. You know, one time I was looking at his baseball cards.
Yeah?
And I kind of creased one of the edges on this Manny Moto card.
Uh-huh.
And he got really mad.
On whose card?
Manny Moto.
I think it was Manny Moda, but...
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I stand corrected. You know, I'm not a big baseball fan like I guess you are. You seem like the kind of guy that might wear, like, a plastic batting helmet.
Well, you'd be wrong on that, because I'm not...
Well, it sounds like I'd be right on that.
I'm not much of a baseball fan either.
Really?
But I do know how to say the guy's name.
Okay. It sounds like you might be one of those guys that would be in the Brokeback Mountain.
So you disagree... I correct you, and then you make a kind of like a gay slur.
Don't cast aspersions on me.
Don't cast what? Wait, what word did you just say?
Don't.
Yeah, I'm familiar with the word don't.
Yeah, then I said the word cast.
Yeah, I know that
and
word also. Third word.
I said on me.
The third one, the word's the one that threw me. How do you say that word?
And aspersions.
You want to spell that?
Look, what is this, a damn spelling bee?
No, it's not, but you're the one throwing around big words. Hey. You should be able to back him up.
Hey, you spell lobotomy. I played that song 2,032 times.
Okay, well, then you should really be able to spell it. Spell it.
Well, maybe I don't want to spell it.
Maybe you can't.
Maybe I don't want to.
Maybe you don't want to.
Hey,
because
I
want to
tell you about the Intruders for coming back.
The Intruders are coming.
Yeah.
Is this the exciting news you had to announce last week?
No, the news, I'll give you a little taste of the news. I think I said last time that everyone should buckle in and they should want to be sedated. Yeah. Well, let me just, I'll have a little update about that. When you guys are all going to want to be well when you hear the news next week.
Everyone's going to want to be well.
Yeah, because they're going to want to be in attendance when the thing that I'm going to announce next week comes to pass.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're really teasing something.
Yeah. Let me just say that you're all going to have something to do.
Oh, which is like a reference to the song.
Oh, geez, we got one of the guys from AllMusic.com here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, nice.
What's that?
Yeah, real nice.
Yeah, real nice. So, geez, I'm sorry I can't...
Hey, you don't get lippy with me. I'm like a god to you.
You are so far from a god to me.
Oh, I'm a total god to you. Wait till you hear the new remix we got of Weenie Hair.
What is that?
That's a song from the Intruders.
Oh, wow.
We did a remix. We got Andy Wallace. We ponied up some of the dough to finish up the remix.
So I can only hope that the remix might match does it dwarf the original?
Oh, yeah. It's like Sonic Warfare with the original.
Sonic.
Hey, oh, I'm sorry, am I boring you?
A little bit.
Okay. Hey, you check out End of the Century, the movie?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, you like it?
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
Who you felt came off the best in it?
Not you.
What?
Yeah, no, I basically would say...
You don't think Tommy came off any better, do you?
I think he came off much better.
Wait, what?
I'd say, Joey came off the best.
You know, I once challenged Tommy to a drum off once and he backed down.
And what made him back down?
I don't know. He hadn't played the drums in about 14 years.
That might have had something to do with it.
I think that was part of it.
You think it was what?
It was part of it.
Part of it?
I said part of it.
Part?
Yeah, what do you think I said? P-A-R-T.
Part. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought you said pot because basically you said pot.
I said pot, P-A-R-T.
Yeah, pot, P-O-T.
Hey, speaking of pot, can you play a Dust song?
Dust.
How about Voidoids? I played the Voidoids on my radio show.
The satellite show?
Yeah. My show is so much better than yours.
You know what? Your show is so much different than mine.
My show don't got no talking on it.
Wait, what?
My show don't got no talking
on it. So your show has talking on it?
It's all music. No, it don't got no talking on it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Listen
I'm trying
to what I say, dummy.
I'm trying to navigate through that sea of...
jerk.
I'm trying to navigate through that sea of bad grammar, and I kind of got tripped up a little bit.
Who's got bad grammar?
You!
I don't got no bad grammar.
You don't got no bad grammar?
Yeah, no, yeah.
What?
What do you not got?
Hold on. What do I not got?
What do you not got? Yeah.
Wow. Hold on. I gotta just, my mind has to catch up on this
one. Yeah, your mind's been blown by Marky Ramone. And you're not the first mind that's ever been blown by Marky Ramone.
You wanna know what? You are 100% right.
See?
My mind is blown by Marky Ramone on this one.
Okay, so now you gotta get me a record deal.
Where did that come from?
Because I blew your mind, now you owe me.
Yeah, I owe you. Let me get you a record deal.
Okay, thank you.
I was being sarcastic.
What does that mean?
it means that I was mocking you.
No, I'm mock.
No, not mock. Mock.
That's me, mock. Mocky Ramon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not mark. Mock.
It sounds like you're saying the same word to me, mock and mock.
I'm not saying the same word. Mark is your name.
Yeah.
Mock is what I was doing.
No, mock is me. Hey, I got to go. The locksmith is here.
You got to go?
Yeah, yeah. I'll leave you with this, okay?
Uh-huh.
Chewing out of rhythm on my bubble gum. Sun is up and I want some. It's not far, not far to reach. We can hitch a ride to Rockaway Beach. Later days, I'll call you next Tuesday with the big news, okay, everybody? You're going to want to be well, and you're going to want to get sedated, okay?
All right.
And you're not going to not care.
The audience? Oh, because that's a reference to I Don't Care.
Oh, geez. It is the guy from AllMusic.com.
Yeah. Oh, you're all. Thank you for. Oh, man. Marky Ramone. Unbelievable. I thought I'd be more excited to talk to a guy who was in the Ramones than I am. I think I end up just being kind of mad. .. 201-209-9368 is the number. We got these 699 MySpace friends who will be lucky, number 700. FMU, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom, how's it going?
All right, who's this?
It's Pat.
Hey, Pat.
How you been, man?
Oh, I've been all right. What's going on with you?
Not too much. I'm already on the MySpace friends list, so I can't break your, what is it, 699 mark?
Yeah. You're not going to put me into the sevens?
Yeah, I don't even have a band I'm in that has a page that can do that either, so sorry about that. But, yeah.
That is all right.
But anyway, something tells me that wasn't Marky Ramone.
What?
Because he sounds more like Elmer Fudd.
Have you ever heard Marky Ramone?
Yeah, yeah. I actually had a run-in with him at Dingbats in Clifton a few months ago.
How did you have a run-in with him?
Well, I was shooting my senior thesis, which is a documentary on CBGB's closing down. And I heard he was playing there with his band, which is just, you know, called the Marky Ramone Band, which is, you know, pretty. Well, anyway, it was, I guess at that point they were called the Marky Ramone Band. But I went there basically to see if I could interview him, which he said yes to at the end of the night. And he didn't have a lot to say about CBGB's. I guess really he only played there about three times, once with the Voidoids, with Richard Hell, and twice with the Ramones. Really only twice with the Ramones, because, you know, Tommy and everybody did, you know, that whole thing early on. But
sure.
He didn't have a lot to say, and he was really Elmer Fudd sounding to me. And, you know, I haven't heard him on Sirius, but a friend of mine has, and he's concurred to that also. So.
Well, I don't know what to tell you, buddy.
But that was him, huh?
He calls up every week.
Man. Well, I haven't listened to him in a while, so I got to get back on that, I guess.
Yes, you do. We miss you.
I miss you guys.
We miss you, Pat.
Bring back the zoo, the evening zoo.
Oh, it's that, Pat.
Yeah.
This is the Pat. You want to be in the evening zoo. You want to know what we're going to do, Pat?
What's up?
You still live in the area, right?
Oh, yeah.
Pat?
I'm in Harrison.
Would you be willing to be on the evening zoo?
Yeah, bring it back. I'll be there.
We'd actually have to bring it. We never, not even bring it back, just bring it.
Yeah, I'll bring it.
Let's do it.
Ready to bring it. I'm excited.
Let's do it we'll do it in a few weeks.
Sounds like a plan.
Evening zoo.
It's on.
All right, buddy. Thanks, Pat. Bye. 201-209-9368 is the number. 201-209-WFMU. Who's going to be my 700th MySpace friend? MySpace.com/Sharpling, SCHARPLING. We review some of these candidates. Long. Who is Long? Let's see Long. He's dribbling a basketball in his picture. Let's check it out. He says, are you a fan of Brock Toon? Which is a really obscure reference. So he earns gigantic points for that. For his Brock Toon reference. Got a picture of him with a Pikachu, with a gigantic Pikachu. FMU, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom, it's Brian.
Hey, Brian, how are you?
Pretty good. I think I talked to you a while ago, you might remember. My friend was a rock, paper, scissors champion.
That's right.
All right, and so he had a he moved down to Philly, and there was this big hype. The Philly Inquirer wrote this big article on him, and he was defending his title. This was maybe a month or 6 weeks ago.
Yeah,
and he was lost in the first round, like literally 10 minutes into it. It was devastating.
Of course, he lost.
So, Lordy, of course, the guy is the champ.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. You know, I think he's. I was just, you know, he's not here now, but. I think that, you know, maybe next week or something, I'm going to have him call up. He's just been kind of depressed.
Yeah.
And I was hoping that, you know, on the air, you could play against him and just lose a few, throw a few, just to make him feel better.
Well, no, I'll beat him.
No, you can't. This guy's like, on the ledge.
You know why I'll beat him?
Why will you beat him?
Because it's complete luck.
No. Have you gone to the website? Definite skill involved. There's psychology. They say, a certain type of, like, a personality is more inclined to throw a rock than, say, you know, scissors.
Yeah, I don't believe it.
Well, so if I'm going to tell him to call next week...
Tell him to call. You tell your friend to call rock, paper, scissors guy.
No, I'm going to have him call you. You're just going to throw, like...
Get off my phone. You bore me. FMU, you're on the air.
Hey, Tommy.
And if you bore me, you bore everyone else listening, because I got a high tolerance for this stuff.
Hey, Tom, it's Jimmy.
Hey, Jimmy, how are you?
Great. Are you ready?
Okay.
I think I should be your 700 MySpace friend.
Are you on MySpace?
Not yet, but tonight I will be. For the first time.
So I've got to wait for you to sign up.
Yeah.
I don't have that kind of patience, Jimmy.
Did you hear that? Oh,
you are quite a whistler, huh? How about that?
Did you know that?
Did I know you were a whistler?
Because I'm going to put, though...
Of course I knew you were a whistler.
On MySpace, though.
Let's hear this stupid riddle now.
Oh, stupid? Get ready. I wasn't calling you stupid. There's three mice in a mouse hole. All three of them decide to leave at the same time. Underline that.
Well, hold on. There's three mice.
They're all in a mouse hole.
The same mouse hole?
Yeah, the same one.
Okay.
All three of them decide to leave at the same time.
Yes.
But what happens? There's still two left. Uh-oh. How does that happen?
Because they're leaving at the same time. They're not leaving at the same moment.
They all left at the same time.
Yeah. They could all leave at 11:30, but it doesn't have to be the same 11:30.
That's a good point, but it's wrong.
Who says it's wrong?
The creator of the riddle.
Yeah, I'm the answerer of the riddle. I just answered it.
All right, I'll give you one more shot, okay? You want a shot?
I don't know. You need one more shot to come up with another riddle. I just answered your riddle.
Oh, big shot, hey? Let me see you whistle like this.
Your stupid riddle.
Stupid riddle you can't get?
I answered your question. Now you're mad because I answered it immediately.
Okay. Listen. All right. I'll give you another one. Okay.
Oh yeah. Let's hear it.
Right. I'll try to make it easier for you. Okay. Let's see if we can make it a little bit easier for your level.
Am I right on that, Mike?
Look, I'll put you at the first level.
First Ready? Level. I'll right, put well, you 6 feet under. You well, hear that?
Relax.
You're saying today's your birthday. It's going to be your death day.
It's my anniversary, Tom.
Of what?
My birthday.
The anniversary of your birthday?
Yeah.
How old are you?
20.
Think of a fake age. I'll give you 15 seconds. Go ahead.
I'm one for the 22nd time.
So you're 23.
No, I'm one for the 22nd time.
Oh, I don't like you.
Ugh, come on, just answer it.
Answer what?
Okay, ready? Level zero. There's three mice in a mouse hole.
Yeah.
All three of them decide to crawl out at the same time.
Yeah.
There's still two of the mice left. Now I'll give you a hint, okay?
Ooh, please do.
First hint is, the three mice in the mouse hole are all standing next to each other. And when they leave, they all stand next to each other at the same time, in the same moment, all together, holding hands. But somehow there's still two left.
Wait, say that again?
Analyze that at level zero, okay? It'll be a little easy for
you. Oh, so now we're even moving past level one. Now we're at level zero. You're moving me down earlier than level one, which you had me at a minute ago.
Try training mode, okay? Ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
Three mice in a dollhouse. Okay?
Yeah.
They all decide to leave the dollhouse at the same time.
Uh-huh.
Somehow there's still two left.
Yeah.
How does that happen?
I told you how it happens.
Your answer.
What?
Say your answer again.
They're all leaving at the same time, but they're not leaving at the same moment.
Yeah, but explain to me the difference between time and a moment.
Well, time is measured on a clock.
Moment is...
A moment is there is one moment, but the same time comes around every 12 hours.
Yeah, but, So it's... Okay. Here's the thing. I think you're ready, okay? Are you?
Gee, I don't think I am. Why don't we waste another 4 minutes of airtime? Then maybe I'll be ready.
Get out a piece of paper.
What's that?
Get out a piece of paper. Are you ready? A pen.
Okay, got one. Got one. Piece of paper and pen. Piece of paper and pen. Got one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Draw a circle.
Draw a circle. Did it.
Draw three circles in the middle.
Okay, did it.
Erase three circles, or cross them out, whichever one you want.
Yeah.
Then draw one outside of the circle.
Uh-huh.
Draw two inside the circle.
Yeah.
Then wish me a happy birthday, and add me to MySpace.
So you're not even telling me your wrong answer to this riddle.
Well, if you get it, you get to wish me happy birthday. Anniversary.
I hope you have the worst birthday ever. I honestly do.
Guess what?
What?
I'm saying guess the riddle.
I did already!
Yeah,
what is this, Saw?
Tom, why are you so angry?
Oh, why would I be angry? Maybe because you're calling up. You're being a big shot with your stupid riddle that I solved within 15 seconds.
But that wasn't the answer.
It wasn't your answer.
No. That doesn't make sense.
Yes, it does make sense. I answered the riddle with my answer. I can't help it that my answer is not your answer. Your answer is wrong.
Look, stop being a goofball.
You know how I know your answer's wrong?
You don't know my answer, though.
I do know, but I know it's wrong.
How do you know, huh?
Because you're an idiot. Get off my phone! Birthday. Meh, my birthday. What's the answer to that stupid riddle? I gave it already. Meh, I'm mad now. Now I'm in a bad mood. Guy talking about riddles. I don't want to hear about riddles. Was this Batman? What are you, Jigsaw? Got me tied up with some kind of door where the gun's going to shoot me? Does anybody else have any insight into that riddle? Please call 201-209-9368. Just got an IM. I just got an IM. Sparky Pop says I was right. See? She's smart. She has websites all the time. She knows what she's talking about. This rock, paper, scissor guy polluting the chat. Rock, paper, scissor. Why don't you start a tic-tac-toe club while you're at it? FMU, you're on the air.
Hello, Tom.
Yes.
Hi, this is Andrea from Brooklyn again.
Hi, Andrea.
Hi. You're not going to give $700 to that guy, are you?
No.
Well, come on. Who's it going to be? This is my competition?
That guy, no, well, that guy Chris, who has a fancy magazine, he could get me some good FaceTime on his the top eight.
Well, you could be on my top eight.
Of course. Well, I would expect no less.
Yeah, well, it's pretty good there.
You got to sweeten the pot.
What?
Sweeten the pot.
I don't know what that means.
Throw in something else. What do I get?
Oh, man, let me think. Well, you know my MySpace picture?
Yeah.
Well, that's a picture from a video I made, a performance video.
Uh-huh.
And what I did in that video is I learned George Carlin's 7 Dirty Words skit verbatim, all 25 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And then I lip-synced all the words.
Yeah.
I'll send you a copy of that.
Let me think about it. Got 7 minutes to go, Andrea.
Come on, 7 minutes equals 700.
Well, think about it. Okay, I'm thinking.
Okay. Bye.
FMU, you're on the air.
Hi, I want to answer the riddle.
Okay, go ahead.
I think that your answer was wrong, but I'll try to answer.
What is your name?
My name is Jenny.
Okay, Jenny. What is your answer to the riddle?
I think that, I want to ask you to see if you know. There's three mice in an asshole, and all three of them leave at the same time. There's still two left. How does that work?
How does it work? Well, all the mice leave at, let's say, 11:30, right?
Yeah.
That's the time they leave at. They all leave at the same time.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate you. Oh. FMU, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom.
Hey.
What's up? It's Tomert.
Hey, Tomert. Finally, the voice of reason, Tomert. Is that where we're at?
A little bit of logic, a little bit of emotion.
Well, help me out here, Tomert.
Oh, the riddle? Man, that's a stupid riddle.
Thank you.
I thought your answer was actually right on the dot. It's just what everybody doesn't want. It's obviously the right answer. It's just not... You know, the answer, it made sense once you heard it.
Yes.
I thought it made sense.
Well, but, thank you, buddy.
Hey, what was that that comedian that was on the show earlier? What was his name?
Akiva Smirnoff.
that guy, he said he was making fun, like he was on a, what, Best Week Ever or something like that?
No, he said he wanted to do like a Best Week Ever type thing.
Right.
I don't think he was actually claiming to have been on Best Week Ever.
Oh, yeah. Talking about Michael Jackson, like he said it's the news.
Yes.
Since when is anything about celebrities news?
I'm with you, buddy.
I mean, these people have been rich and stupid for a long time. It's not new, anything new.
I'm with you. I'm with you, Tomert.
Hey, we're on the same page.
Why can't they be more like you?
Hey, man. Oh, I was listening, you know, like the background music that you play sometimes here and there?
Uh-huh.
It was on, and I also had Karma Police by Radiohead playing on in the background.
Yeah.
And it lined up perfectly. It was the freakiest thing. I was like, wow, this is like, you know, meant to be of some sort. I mean, did you know about this?
No. Well, next week we'll cue it up.
Well, I don't know. It was a little, you know, it got a little glitchy here and there.
It just had to happen. You know, it just had to, but it came together
music
in one
these
moment.
Days, yeah.
All right, buddy. I got all the lines lit up.
All right, man.
I'll talk to you later. You too. Thanks. Bye. FMU, you're on the air.
Hey, this is Long. I was the Brock Tune fan.
Yes.
I was buying for the 700th friend of yours.
Now tell people Brock Tune. What is that?
Brock Tune was an old Saturday Night Live skit with Tom Hanks as the president of the Mr. Belvedere Fan Club.
That's right.
And Brock Tune was their code word to each other so they can identify each other in various towns or cities.
That's right. It was one of the best sketches ever on Saturday Night Live.
I agree. And I do miss the comedic Tom Hanks.
Yes.
Immensely, so. But if I did become 700,
yeah,
I will give you that Danny Manning Phoenix Suns jersey.
You'll actually give me the jersey you're wearing.
I'll wash it.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. That's a sweet offer. I got two more minutes to think about it.
Okay.
Thanks, Long.
No problem, Tom.
Bye. There you go. That's how you sweeten the pot. FMU, you're on the air.
Hey.
Hey.
What's up?
Oh, not a whole lot. You want to pull your punches a little more on the call?
Who's this?
Maybe talk a little quieter?
What? What? Huh?
You're terrible.
You're terrible, buddy. This call is being terminated.
Nice job. This call, he's trying to do this call is being terminated, and he terminates it before he says the word terminated. It's Bush League, son. Bush League. Hey, everybody, just so you know, the best show on WFMU is now podcast. You can find out more about the podcasts by going over to friendsoftom.com. Click on the archives section, and you can learn all about the podcast. Subscribe to the best show on WFMU each and every week. The theme song contest is in full effect, raging on. We got some great entries this week, but if you are working on an entry, keep it going, get it in. The battle's still raging. There is no winner yet. Getting for more information on that over friendsoftom.com. Click on a little contest, theme song contest. Thanks to Jim Gaffigan for checking in. And his Comedy Central special will be on this Sunday at 9 p.m. called Beyond the Pale. We appreciate him coming on. You're listening to WFMU East Orange, WXHD Mount Hope. Worldwide and World Wide Web at WFMU.org. This has been the best show on WFMU. We will be back next Tuesday night for more mirth, music, and mayhem. 180 minutes worth. Coming up next, bringing you 180 minutes of his own special brand of entertainment, is Bill. CD1? Check it out here on WFMU. Stay tuned.